Welcome to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. If you would like to participate on today's program, call now, 803-1520. That's 803-1520.
All right, here we go. Think again. Think again. Welcome to our topic discussion program, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Western New York, still fighting the war on poverty, now in our 55th year. Each week, we talk to you about issues, events, and trends affecting you right here and right now in Buffalo and the Western New York community, and in fact, connecting to communities all across the country. I'm your host, L. Nathan Hare, President and CEO of the Community Action Organization. Make us a part of your Saturday every Saturday at ESPN 1520 AM on your dial from 11 o'clock to 12 noon each week. Now, today's program is live, so you can call in. You can join our discussion, if you will. Our number here again is 803-1520. That's 803-1520. We got a few callers on the line already, so I want to try to get through this little opening thesis that I want to lay out for you. The first thing I wanted to start with is on this issue of coronavirus infections. We're being told, and we seem to getting it drummed into our heads, that the infection rates are going down and that that's somehow significant, as if we didn't just go through Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and that we're just now coming down from all of the excess infections that we get from people gathering together in large numbers during the course of those holidays. I want people to understand where we are. We had 196,000 new infections the day before yesterday. We had 4,879 deaths the day before yesterday. I want us to get these numbers in our head. When we talk about new cases leveling off, we need to remember that we were experiencing almost 90,000 new cases on Halloween, the day before Halloween. Those numbers have risen as high as 274,000 deaths per day. That was on January 27th. The reality is that this persistently high infection rate is almost entirely due to the unwillingness of large groups of citizens to accept self-governance, that is, wearing masks, keeping social distance, practicing good personal sanitation habits. Quickly on Joe Biden moving the ball in his administration, he's issued a number of executive orders to address his initial priorities. One initiative is a both climate change response and a job creator, that he would do this by making the government purchase electric vehicles as the replacement for gas-powered vehicles as those vehicles are being retired. This would both reduce the nation's carbon footprint. It would also create American jobs. Biden would also subsidize new energy-efficient home production and energy retrofits of existing homes that he thinks will create something in the area of 1 million new jobs. Biden is ending the irrational Trump initiative to sell sophisticated arms to the Saudis, to Saudi Arabia, while that country is prosecuting a civil war in Yemen that is costing massive hunger and homelessness for millions of people. A poorly reported fact, important, a poorly reported fact is that as many as 140 of the Capitol Police and Metropolitan Police forces in Washington, D.C. were injured, not counting the six people that died during the January 6th white nationalist riot that attempted to seize the nation's Capitol building. In an article written by Rebecca Spears Cole, she talks about a document that says 81 officers from the Capitol Police Force and 58 from the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police force sustained injuries. Five people died, including a police officer, during this violence. Disturbing footage and photos have shown officers being beaten, being crushed by crowds, dragged down steps as the mob overwhelmed law enforcement. Some officers suffered crushing of their back vertebrae as they were trying to prevent people from squeezing through doorways into hallways. As a result of a lack of law enforcement preparation, police officers were overwhelmed and outnumbered. Newsweek magazine reports provides a report by Brian Harrell, who was the Department of Homeland Security Assistant Secretary for Infrastructure Protection, he said federal law enforcement was well aware that a sizable and volatile crowd was set to descend on the Capitol, yet it did not take the necessary precautions, and that there's no excuse for that failure. Dan Larson, writing for the American Conservative online magazine, wrote these words. This is the American Conservative writing these words, one of the most conservative papers in the country. It says, and I quote, "The culture of impunity was a main cause of the Capitol riot. Don't let it continue for the riot's perpetrators or those who egg them on. The riotous attack on the Capitol last week was a terrible assault on our constitutional system of government. If it is not punished severely, it is likely that there will be further attempts to sabotage and wreck the Republic in the coming years. There are few acts that demand political and legal accountability more than inciting a riot to storm the Capitol, and there is no denying that inciting the mob is what the President of the United States did. It remains to be seen if both houses of Congress can muster the will to hold the president and his allies accountable for what they did on January 6th and in the months leading up to that day. Failure to draw a line against such egregious violation of the Constitution will invite more of the same behavior from other presidents in the future." This is the American Conservative magazine, which publishes what it refers to as its American Ideas Institute. So let me get to our calls. We got five callers hanging. Let me get John in Lockport first. John, how are you doing out there?
Hi, Nathan.
Hey.
I wonder what you think about the, first of all, what you said about the Saudis and Russians. Those are the guys, the Saudis and the Russians are the ones that are going to bail out Trump. I think he made deals ahead of time with his son-in-law, too, with the Saudis. I think that's where
Mr. MSB
bailed out by the Russians and the Saudis, whether directly or indirectly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I wanted to ask you, though, was this filibuster. What do you think about getting rid of the filibuster?
Honestly, the filibuster was created so that the southern states, who were a minority interest group when the United States was reunited after the Civil War, in order to give them the feeling that or the assurance that whatever their interests were, that they were going to be taken into account in any decision, they were given the right or this idea of the filibuster was created, where you had to have a 60 vote a majority in order to be able to move anything, to move a process, a step, a procedure, let alone voting on the actual issue that was under consideration. I don't think that that's a necessary thing. I do realize that if you take away the filibuster and then you're not the majority party in a future time period, the Republican Party, for example, could inherit the government in 2022 or 2024, and they could turn the tables on you, and they could use their majority to just roughshod whatever they want to do. But the Democrats tend not to rule by filibuster. Democrats tend to negotiate. And I think at the end of the day, we'll be better off if we go back to simple majority on virtually everything and only in very, very selected situations that you'd have to have a 67 or a 60 percent majority in order to move something. I think we should get rid of the filibuster.
What it was originally set up for right now, you got the minority is the one controlling everything,
right?
And you just can't have that happen.
The filibuster has created the ability for minority rule over everything. That's what Mitch McConnell does. He just doesn't vote for allow anything, you know, to get to a vote.
Right, and in 2 years too, I worry about in 2 years because if the Democrats lose one of the two houses, they're going to get nothing done after two years, and they got so many things on the agenda. I just don't know. What are the priorities that you think that Biden should think about ahead of everything else?
Well, I think that his effort on infrastructure development repair is something that should get everybody's buy-in, because the constituency that works around infrastructure repair are generally technicians, engineers, construction workers, people that provide labor to on construction projects, and that tends to be a Republican-oriented kind of body public in the first place. So they should be able to come together on something like that.
Right, and you could kill two or three stones with the one thing.
One stone, right.
You're certainly going to help the economy, and I'm sure that there's pay increases and everything else involved, too. So for, minimum wage and all that. So, I think that's very important. Health care has got to come up, too.
And he's working on that now, and he's doing it the right way. He's first working on the procedural things you have to do to just move things along more smoothly under the Affordable Care Act. And then he'll work secondarily on expanding or restructuring the Affordable Care Act so that it provides more coverage for more people with less exposure to market volatility in the premium prices.
Well, and the elephant in the room is tax reform. You've got to change the tax situation for the middle class.
I'm concerned that he's going to do the same thing.
Now, the middle class will tax rate will increase, while the top 1% will stay static.
Right.
We got to stop it before it starts digging into the middle class.
See, it would seem to me that the wisdom thing to do would be to repeal the Tax Reform Act that was passed December 31 of 2017. They should repeal it, take the country back to where the tax rates were across the board at that time, and then renegotiate some changes to the original 2017 rate, rather than try to take what Trump and McConnell put together, try to find ways to revise that, and you're just going to create more of a muddle. This was bad science in the first place. We net lost something like $325 billion against our bottom line. So instead of having the deficit go down, the deficit actually went up from $680 billion or so up to now somewhere at $1.3-1.4 trillion in deficit. That's not counting the pandemic relief bills in April and December of this year. So, we put ourselves on a precipice that we should not be on. I think that, we should get ourselves, get our fiscal house in order. We need to put some predictability on how we're going to pay the bills that we've created over the course of these 7 years. It's $7.8 trillion in debt that has been created over the course of this time period. We need to put ourselves on a schedule on how we're going to pay that off so that we limit what the damage is going forward, especially while interest rates are as low as they are.
Yeah. Last question. Do you think the Republican Party is going to split somehow with this?
I'm hearing that, but I think that there's a lot of inertia in institutions in the United States. The Republican Party is an institution, and institutions do not change that easily. So there's going to be a massive amount of inertia towards splitting the institution apart. If some people break away and become like the knucklehead party, that's not going to be a very large percentage of the people. That's my thought on it. Okay, great. Let me grab Tony real quick. Tony, how are you doing out there?
Well, I'm listening to your discussion on filibuster, and the first thing you should all know is that the filibuster is not part of the United States Constitution.
At all, right.
It was an invention. So inventions can be changed. You can do it or you don't have to do it. Secondly, any bill that the Biden administration is going to pass is going to be done by reconciliation, period. There's no way that the Republicans are going to vote. And the first and very important thing that should be done, which you failed with John to mention, is the 1.9 COVID relief package. That has to be done first.
Hmm.
President Biden said that yesterday.
That's what he said. But I was asked what I thought was the thing that he should do first.
Well, I disagree with you. The first thing is you got to get money into people's pockets. You have to help the businesses. You have to have people reopening, and you have to start collecting some taxes.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to be in more debt. You're right. You were asked your opinion. I gave you mine.
Mm-hmm.
COVID has to be done. It'll be done by reconciliation. the current president of the Senate is Chuck Schumer.
Right.
Not Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell does not call the punches anymore.
As long as we have, but Tony, as long as we have the filibuster, in order for you to move anything, if just one senator says I object, then you stop it until you get a vote of 60 or more of the senators to break that filibuster. That's what the filibuster issue is all about. Reconciliation is not something that you can do for everything. Reconciliation is something that you can do on budget bills, and it's only on a budget bill that you can do reconciliation. You're only going to get two bites at that apple in the course of this year. So everything that you want to get done, if you're going to do it through the reconciliation process, you got to get all of that stuff assembled and have it all ready to go at the first bite you're going to get on reconciliation opportunity.
Yeah, which is right now.
Yep.
Which is right now. You're not going to get it later. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The Arizona legislature has now decided there's a proposal in the Arizona legislature to allow the legislature to override the vote of the people in Arizona if it decides that the vote didn't come out right. You know that, right?
I didn't understand it that way, that they actually voted for the right to be able to override. Because if they have the right to override the vote of the people, what's the basis for overriding? Every county has its own board of elections or its own board of canvassing. They're the ones who actually do the certification for every county. Each county does its own, you know, for their county. So like in New York State, you'd have 54 plus New York City's boroughs. Each one of them would all be submitting their own certified vote for their boroughs or their counties. How could this legislature of the state say that, you know, this was a defective a vote if you've got 56 or 62 different entities in New York State that are the ones doing the certification for their area of the state? How does the state legislature even have the basis on which to do something like that?
You might not have heard the first word I used. I said it was a proposal.
Yeah, okay.
Proposal.
They're just talking the same stuff, you know. The Republicans are upset that they didn't win, and so they're still looking for ways to interfere with American democracy so they can go with Republican autocracy. I guess that's what this is all about.
Right. Well, here's a good one for you. Remember the picture of the gentleman sitting in Pelosi's desk?
Yes. He got busted.
Yeah, well, no, he went back to Arizona, to Arkansas. And then he said he would give himself up on Friday.
Right.
He would go to the police. The Justice Department went to the Washington court. This man is now in jail.
Yeah, that's what I understood.
Yeah, well, that was on last night. We saw that last night.
Yep.
That was important.
Yep.
Because they also did this with a couple of other people. See, what happens is they go back to Arkansas like this guy does. And the judge says, well, he's not any threat to leave.
Right.
He says, so the judge gives him a way out.
Because he's a part of the local community down there, and a large percentage of that local community supports the behavior that this guy engaged in.
Right, and plus there were two or three others that they brought up again on charges. And as far as what, you know, you talked about that police chief, the police chief at the time said that he requested the National Guard. I mentioned this a couple of times.
Right,
but so how could he call out the National Guard? It wasn't his choice. It was the president's choice.
Right.
And the president decided to watch television and applaud what was going on.
Yep.
And then 2 hours later, send in the National Guard.
Yep.
So last thing here on my docket, Putin and Biden spoke Thursday.
Yep.
And Putin, then what we get from the readout from Jennifer, the press secretary, is
Psaki.
He told them bluntly that you are putting boundaries on our soldiers' heads.
Right.
You are trying to poison the opposition. You've already succeeded a couple of times. You are not to be trusted, and that if you continue your activities, we will put sanctions on you. Well, like I told you last week, Putin is the richest man in the world.
Just $200 billion. Just $200 billion. That's all. You know, just a drop in the bucket. All right, Tony, I got to run. I got to take our first break. I appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, guys. Don't go away. We will see you on the side of the break here at Think Again. Think Again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
Why so serious? So raise your glass if you are wrong. In all the right ways, all the
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading value brand. So you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Sure thing. We can help you replace those wipers. If yours are squeaking or streaking, it's probably time. We've got a wide selection of wipers that can stand up to any weather, including the right ones for your make and model. We've even got more ways to get them fast, like our next day delivery or free same day store pickup. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
All right. We're just trying to get you guys set up. You know, the Buffalo Bills season is over. I know we got the Super Bowl happening, but we're not in it. So we wanted to get you back on hockey now. We're even Steven in hockey. I think we're at a 50%, you know, 3-3, 3-3-1. So we're doing pretty good. Help me out. My next is Jim in Lockport. Jim in Lockport, how you doing out there?
Hey, how's it going, Nathan?
Doing great. We got to run. We got like 4 or 5 calls here at the same time. So let's try to move it. So what's your thought?
Oh, yeah. Well, you gave Jan and Tony.
I know. It's my fault.
Let's be fair in our dolo.
Yep. It's my fault. But let's get
but
rolling.
Your first point there with the hockey is they're going nowhere. They're not going to make the playoffs.
That's not right.
That's right. The Pagulas had to find a way to hire some hockey people like they have in the football.
In the football, yeah.
Because now everyone's comparing the Bills with the Sabres, and there's no comparison there.
Yeah. So.
But that's not really what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the priority of the federal government reining in these militia groups and these people in Congress needing escorts to get to and from their homes to the Capitol. This is ridiculous. And, you know,
what part is ridiculous?
That the people need the
escorts or that the fact that there are people.
No, the threat.
The threat. You're right. Yep.
On these people. And you got this person in the House of Representatives that this lady named Green that's on the rifle range with an AR-15, and this is something that the government's going to have to tone down. And Homeland Security, the Secret Service, whoever they are, they got to get after these right-wing groups and find out, you know, more about the leaders and so we don't have another fiasco like we had on January 6th. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll agree with me there.
I agree. I agree that we have to get these militia-type people out of the services in the first place. That's part of the problem is you have a lot of people that are in these law enforcement circles who are themselves sympathizers with people like the 1%, the 3%ers and the Oath Keepers and that sort of stuff. So that's part of the problem.
Well, they can find them and weed them out also. But I want to give an example. Part of the problem we have today is they're not teaching history in the high schools like they should. I'll give you an example. They showed a high school student a picture of Frederick Douglass, and they said, "Who is he?" And the kid looked at him for a while, and he said, "Oh, I believe he's Stevie Wonder's great-grandfather."
Wow, wow.
So that's where it's coming from. That's where it's coming from. And, you know, it all starts in our case in Albany, and the teachers are at the mercy of the people in the state capitol. They should be allowed to spend more time in the Civil War period where diversity starts and educate these young people so they become better citizens and they know more about our government. They could be more responsible so when they go to vote, they know who they're voting for and why they're voting. This is my rant for today, so I'll let somebody else challenge that and I'll move on.
Thanks, Jim. Those are really good remarks. Is it? Yeah, let me grab Paul in Buffalo. Paul, how are you doing out there?
Good, Nathan. How are you?
Doing great.
The first thing I want to say is it's a real breath of fresh air to have, you know, press conferences like we have now.
Isn't that something? Every day actually hearing from somebody who at least sounds like they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and you got people like Peter Ducey, who's Stephen Ducey's son, you know, on Fox and Friends. Steve Ducey is
right,
and you know, just asking ridiculous questions, and she's unflappable, you know.
Mm-hmm. She responds well. She thinks on her feet. But I think it's because she's prepared. Remember, her position is a cabinet-level position. She's not somebody who's down the line. She's there in the room when they're having the executive meeting for the executive department under the president. She's there in the room. She's a part of the show. So she takes good notes and she asks good questions. So when they come to the press briefings, the press conferences, she's prepared.
Yeah, she absolutely is, you know, and but I wanted to get to my second point.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to a podcast. It's called The Daily. It's from the New York Times.
Right.
And I think it was yesterday morning. It was on QAnon. And I mean, some of these people are very, very bright, and some of them are just sheep, you know. But the reporter was at the same time the inauguration was going on. He was listening in a chat room, and when Trump wasn't president again, some of these people were really just confused and just heartbroken. it's a really amazing. I don't know how it happened.
People can get themselves psyched into something, and their conception of what the world actually is changes to something that supports what they've psyched themselves into. Donald Trump and his minions had somehow convinced people that if he objected enough and he got enough people on his side, that he could overturn the vote of the people, a $7 million surplus or a net plus vote for Biden. He could overturn that, and that he could end up on inauguration day with Donald Trump still being the president of the United States. Now, how these people could actually think something like that makes no sense. But they become so inured with the thought process of it, the people that they're around, the people that are right, social media, the echo chamber that they're listening to on a day-to-day basis. They listen to Charlie Savage and Rush Limbaugh and people like that. And that's what happens to people. That's why, you know, you have to work really hard to make sure that everybody is getting accurate information. Doesn't have to be the accurate opinion, but they should at least get accurate information all the time. And
well, what's really scary is that she won with 75% of the vote in that district.
Yep. That's why really people good. Like her come away with the views that they have. That means three out of every four people that she comes in contact with are people that bought into the election was stolen somehow. It was election fraud. And in Chicago or in Detroit, you know, all the votes that were cast by African people, the part of the ballot that voted for the presidency was somehow malfeasant and fraudulent. And the rest of the ballot that voted for senators and congressmen and council people and so on, those parts were OK. That's the craziness that we're talking about. There's only a single ballot. It's just one sheet. So if there was some destruction of ballots or some taking away of ballots, it would have taken away the votes of all of the people down ballot at the same time. If that didn't occur, then there could not have been a contamination of the ballot. But people can't hear that because they don't want to hear it. It doesn't support what the three out of four people in those boroughs of the country, what they believe. That's the reality of it.
And how she doesn't get impeached, you know, because when you're saying that the way to deal with a situation is to put a bullet in somebody's head.
Yep.
I mean, she said that.
Yep.
And to go after the people in Parkland, you know, for I'm thinking it was a.
She chased a little boy, 18 years old, and tried to diss him, you know, because he was opposed to guns after being shot up. You know, in his high school. Of course he's opposed to guns. Why would he not be opposed to guns? Why would you disrespect this? He's a child. He's 18 years old. Why would you diss him like that?
He did the right thing by not saying anything.
Right.
Because, you know, and then she even went, oh, you got nothing to say, huh?
Yeah.
You know?
He did what his mother taught him to do, be polite. All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Is it Frank? All right, let me grab Frank. Frank, how are you doing out there?
I have a brief, let's have some fun in 2021 list.
Let's go with it.
Here's
fun
the
in 21.
So far.
Okay.
Here's the year so far, Nathan. I can't find vaccine anywhere. You know, I think society has judged me not worthy of a so-called miracle cure. Kansas City, took the Bills to school. Oh! Did you see the Reddit rebels that made the Wall Street hedge fund vultures cry?
Wasn't that something?
GameStop stock.
I don't know where this is going to lead, but this is like really wild.
Nathan, it was glorious. Radicals turning the six sadist money hoarding trust fund babies own trading game against
them. Little people actually beating
Wall
the hedge fund
Street
people.
Is still alive.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes and ready to come at the establishment in ways they can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Now, Biden made real progressives and sane independents angry this week, scaling back on his $2,000 campaign pledge stimulus bill.
Yeah.
Say Bernie Sanders remains in his lifelong fight for the working class and the least among us. Good old Mitch McConnell is still the evil king of the lizard people. And, you know, together with his minion, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican Georgia, are threatening Nancy Pelosi and pushing good old Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer around.
Mm.
And, Nathan, here's my stock tips for the future investment opportunity. Word on the mean streets is that the pitchforks industry is going to take off. And a competition out there to build a marketable, affordable, do-it-yourself guillotine
is almost
unbelievable. You know, get on the ground floor of that, baby. Thank you, Nathan.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Let me grab Kevin in Pendleton quick. Kevin, how are you doing out there?
Nathan here. Well, I've been talking to some folks, both Democrats and Republicans and stuff, and this has nothing to do with the nonsense relating to the last election, with those jumping up and supporting, you know, different fractions about, you know, fraud and stuff in the election system. What I'm focusing here as you are aware, New York State, together the Democrats and Republican parties have upped the amp a bit, making it more difficult for some parties who were normally on the line that now they can't be on the line anymore, right? Are you aware of that, right? And I understand that
they can't be on two lines, you mean, right?
No, not two lines. They can't. They have to have a certain amount of membership or
oh, yeah, well, that's always been the case. You usually have to get 50,000 votes in a gubernatorial election in order mm-hmm. for your party to be registered as a party. Otherwise, you're just a write-in. You're just a write-in mm-hmm. vote. You can still write in, but you wouldn't have a party. The same structure, the institutional structure of a party, you wouldn't have that unless you had demonstrated at least 50,000 people in the mm-hmm. state, you know, were mm-hmm. willing to vote for a person on your party line. Right.
Oh, okay. But they upped it up, though. They increased it. And I'm trying to figure out why.
Yeah, it may be because, yeah, I get it. I hear what you're saying, because the more you increase it, the fewer of the minor parties you're going to have in a particular county and so on. So that may be somebody's way of clearing the smaller players, you know, away from that apparatus. I haven't had a chance to look at it from the perspective of who was actually affected. It may be that below 100,000, there's no people who got less than 100,000 who were a formal party in the first place. So it may not affect anybody. I just don't know. You know, without doing a little more research on it.
Okay, can we talk about it next week then?
Sure can.
Guess what? Yep. Because the Libertarian Party going to do a lawsuit against it, and there's like I think Working Families too. They might get knocked off, and other smaller parties who trying to build themselves, right,
mm-hmm.
Would never get an opportunity. And this is where I think that you know, and people are losing less and less confidence in the system. And therefore, that's why I'm always saying that we cannot have our electoral process determined by just these two, you know, part of the duopoly. And that's plainly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But look into it and let's discuss it. But it's, I think it's wrong.
Yep. I'm making a note of it. We'll talk about it next week.
All right.
Okay. Excellent. So we're going to take our last break. Then we'll grab, I think it'll be Ron, and you'll give me... Right. Okay. Thank you. If y'all stick with us, we will see you on the side of the break here at Think Again. Think Again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
Ah, buying some pretzel sticks?
Excuse me?
This is your wake-up call from TracFone Wireless.
Okay.
What if you didn't eat all those pretzel sticks by the end of the month, so this store took them back?
Good luck.
That's how some wireless companies are with your data, but TracFone Wireless gives you unlimited carryover data with active service, so you keep what you pay for. Plans start at $20 a month.
Wow, that's cool.
Sir, are you bothering the customers?
Yeah, hang on.
This is your wake-up call, people. TracFone Wireless, now you're in control.
Available at major retailers. See terms and conditions at TracFone.com.
Does it feel like finding clothes in your fit is impossible? Tired of feeling overwhelmed with options that just aren't right? Let the experts at Stitch Fix do the shopping for you. At Stitch Fix, we make sure each piece is hand-selected for your life. So whether you're staying home or on the go, Stitch Fix has the answer for what to wear. We make it easy to find what works for you. Signing up takes just a few minutes, and styles are delivered directly to your door. Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, your style delivered.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall.
Yeah, heaven help us all. Because we need that help. Let me grab Ron in Cheektowaga. Ron, how you doing out there?
Oh, not too bad.
Excellent.
Yeah. A couple of things here. I'm kind of not too focused today, but those police officers that are supposedly killing themselves in
two that I knew of, and I think there was a third one that committed suicide.
Well, now, has anybody investigated those at all? I'm kind of curious because are they? I mean, what is their? Were they depressed because of what happened? Or, I mean, was it that, do they know something that is troubling them so much? Or I wonder, conspiracy theory sounding notwithstanding, are they being silenced to shut them up? I mean, when you hear rationales like somehow these rioters had pre-knowledge, they were shown around, they had inside help from people,
mm-hmm.
I'm starting to get my generally conspiratorial suspicion is being aroused. And I, in this era of wild and crazy conspiracies, I maybe feel a little funny about saying it, but I mean, this just seems a little odd.
That, well, I took it this way, Ron. I think that you had police officers who found themselves with competing loyalties. They had police officers that were sympathetic to these Oath Keepers and Proud Boys and Three Percenters and so on, who are part of the force, that were okay with these people coming into the Capitol building and acting like rowdy people and whatnot. Then you got people who, the police officers has a loyalty to the citizens themselves and the legislators who work and the staff that work in the building and didn't want to see anything happen to them. And they found themselves being pulled in two directions. And so they're fighting against something that they don't want to fight against, no matter which side of the question they were on. And I think some of those people went home and they tried to wrestle with that stuff in their mind and they just couldn't get the demons out of their minds. And some people just took their own lives. I think it was something like that.
That's the best explanation, although I've never heard anybody talk about, like, the family members. Usually when something like this happens, they're not talking to the family members and what do they think and how did they, you know, I mean, it's just a little odd, but I don't know. I hope it's coincidental. But
it'll come out. You know, we're just not hearing. I'm sure family members have been talking to people. They just haven't been promoting that conversation in the newspapers.
The media listening to hasn't been mentioning it at all.
Yep.
And as far as these, I don't know where this is going to end with these. What is it going on with McCarthy there? He condemns Trump, and now he's down there kissing his butt or whatever.
Because he was faking. When he condemned Trump, he was faking. He just put some words out there to make him look like he was above the fray, that he wasn't a part of the 150 or so Republican congressmen that voted to overturn the nation's national election. He wanted to act like he was above the fray. But then he had to go and say things fairly quickly a few hours later that, Donald Trump wasn't as accountable for it as people are trying to act like he was. Then he went down there and kissed Donald Trump's ring and whatnot in Mar-a-Lago, you know, signifying it. Because remember what the real issue is for these people and Donald Trump? They think that Donald Trump is the root to money, that not only money from Donald Trump, because he doesn't give you much of his money, but he's the route to get to other fat cat people's money. And I think that's what the draw is of McCarthy and those that are around him towards Donald Trump, is the ability to make one or two phone calls to get to real money rather than having to make 5,000 or 6,000 phone calls to get to real money. I think that's what it's all about.
And you're not hearing Trump say much lately.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not on Twitter or Facebook anymore, but you think he would have called a news conference. What is he plotting, something behind the scenes here? He's got a bunch of people going in and out of the old line billionaire types and that going on. I just wonder how this is going to wind up.
Yeah.
I don't think we've heard the last. I can't believe we've heard the last of him.
No, you've not. He's going to come up with some version of a network of his own. Either a radio or a online network of his own, And yeah, it'll be a subscription-based thing, and all those people that were crazy enough to give him $250 million in December because they thought that he was going to be able to use that money to defend himself, whatever he said he was going to be using that money for, to overturn the election. Those same people are probably going to give him money to underwrite his new network, his online network. Yep. So, Ron, appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you next week. Let me grab Jason in Cherry Creek. Jason, are you actually in Cherry Creek, or are you just saying Cherry Creek?
No, I'm literally standing on my porch in Cherry Creek.
All right.
Snow come down.
Outstanding. So. Okay.
Hey,
I feel like you're calling from the mountaintop.
If I move around too much, I'm not going to get service. So.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, hey, two quick things, please, uh-huh. Politics.
Sure.
Most people realize, picking sides of the same quarter, heads or tails, which one's better, it's the same darn quarter. And no matter which way you flip it, the American people typically lose.
I just want to say, Jason, when you say things like that, here's what goes through my mind. When you say that, it's like you're saying that the Donald Trump Proud Boys craziness on that side is equivalent to the institutional orientation of the Democrats on their side. These are not two sides of the same coin. These are two different coins. And you got to decide whether you like this coin or you like that coin. But it's not.
You don't have to decide at all. You know what you decide on? Your experience. And in my 45 years on this earth, I've realized no matter who's in power, big guys win, little guys lose, and that's always the way it is because they buy both sides of the political spectrum. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
I called because you know who's winning this war on poverty, my friend?
Who?
This Reddit revolution. And y'all got to get behind it. I'm telling you that right now because I'm not kidding.
They gave you something to really focus on.
you don't even know, man. You know what they're doing? They're saving these companies from laying people off that get shorted out of existence. They saved AMC, American, you know, movie cinemas.
Mm-hmm.
They saved GameStop, which is going to have to lay off 50,000 people if the hedge fund companies won. And mm-hmm. you know what they do with their profits? Every one of them are either paying off their student loans, which would have never been able to be paid off, and they're taking 10% of their profits and they're putting it into good causes in their local community.
Mm.
That is how you beat the war on poverty.
Well,
you don't
I think that's a great modality. I can't have anything but good things to say about that.
And the thing that makes it so unique is they got these guys in a position where it's not just temporary. They have something where they are constantly doing the same darn thing, making money hand over fist, and it will be perpetual until, let's measure government here, unless government steps in and does something in benefit of the hedge funds like they typically do. And if they don't do that, this goes on for a very long time, and it will have such a positive impact for companies that are able to stay afloat during this whole pandemic thing.
So Jason, before you leave, because you know you left a taste in a lot of our listeners' mouths by something that it sounded like you said, and I just want to make sure that we address it, you know, correctly. The idea that it was somehow a good thing for these people to roll into the Capitol, knock over the chairs, stomp on people, 106 people dead, 140 people in the hospital, one guy lost his eye, several people have, you know, crushed vertebrae in their back, in their backs, and so on as a consequence of what took place there. And I know that the idea of people showing their disfavor with government as a whole is something that's attractive to you, but that's mm-hmm. a different thing than people invading the Capitol building and destroying stuff and injuring dozens and dozens of people and seeing a half a dozen people killed as a consequence of this behavior. There was one lady, I think her name was Boylan or something like that. I'm pretty close to that's her name. She actually had an anxiety attack. She fell over as these people were pushing up the west stairs to the rotunda. And these people were so aggressive trying to hit police officers with their canes and their crutches and the flagpoles and so on. They walked on top of this lady and literally stomped this lady to death. Even though she had a guy trying to help her, they walked over the top of her and him, and the lady died there on the steps. That's not something that you're okay with, just for me. Let me know how you feel about that.
I mean, they have a problem with the government. They took their grievance there. And in the cities, a lot of people, you know what I mean, had died and had their businesses burnt down, and there was a lot of violence everywhere. There's unrest everywhere.
But those are different things. You had people that were fighting for the right not to be murdered by the police, and you had violence that was perpetrated by people who were not the people that called those protests. The people that called the protests were not violent people. People that came to the protests, like the Proud Boys and the Wisconsin Wolverines, they're the ones that tried to provoke.
They're the ones who tried.
The White House didn't provoke people breaking windows and starting fights at the back of crowds of demonstrators.
Who did more damage in the city? Antifa and BLM or the people at the Capitol? I mean, come on, let's be real.
We're talking about two different things. We're talking about people that were fighting for the right to be respected as American citizens, and we're talking about another set of people who were fighting for the right to overthrow the government of the United States. How are these equivalent? You can't possibly tell me you think these things are equivalent.
Because one was targeting regular businesses and looting big screen TVs ain't helping your cause. And the ones who were looting
the businesses were not the people that called the march. The Buffalo, in fact, the reality is the Black Lives Matter movement that called many of those human justice, whatever they call them, demonstrations. The Black Lives Matter movement members, not a single one of them to this very day has been arrested for any misconduct in any one of these eruptions that have taken place in the country. These have been eruptions caused by troublemakers and usually people that were a part of the fascist type movements, those kinds of movements who actually provoked fights.
Possibility that Capitol thing didn't get corrupted. You don't think that it was a bunch of knuckleheads who did that?
Again, we're still talking about two different things. On one hand, we're talking about thousands of people rushing the Capitol building. We're not talking about a few troublemakers at the back of a demonstration. We're talking about thousands of people. We're talking about people who did this for the purpose of overthrowing the government of the United States, as opposed to
exaggeration. They did not do it to overthrow. They had a problem with the election results. The Supreme Court didn't do their job by hearing it, which would have made it never happen. So you had people who were all hyped up and amped up. And this is what happened. They didn't try to overthrow the government.
That is exactly what they did. If to refuse to accept the certified electoral college votes from the states, and to say that we will not even recognize that the election on November 3rd took place, is overthrowing the government of the United States by definition.
They had problems with all the stuff that was on video of ballots coming out from underneath tables. Like, come on.
Okay. All right, Jason, but I'm glad you said what you said. So now I understand that you really were, you know, with these people. That's what your thought is. We got to get a few more calls in before we get done. Donnie, we got you out here. We got you and two more folks 40 hours over. How you doing?
Good. Quick. Okay. Quick there, Professor. Good question. At the Capitol building, what would happen if the Capitol Police took the same tack that the Ohio National Guard did at Kent State? What would it be then?
Lord have mercy. You know, they killed four kids, you know, at Kent State. I would hope the Capitol Police and the Metropolitan Police would not have taken that tack.
I was a young kid then, and I heard they were suggesting, the Ohio National Guard said they're going to bring out the regular machine guns because they had to stop.
Do you recall what happened in Ferguson, Missouri after the death of Michael Brown? They brought tanks down the main street of Ferguson with 50 caliber machine guns mounted on them, and police officers in bulletproof vests or whatever they were with the helmets and so on, pointing these 50 caliber machine guns at citizens who had no guns, who at best had some kind of a poster or a placard, you know, in their hand. But we don't want to go down that road. So let's not create an equivalence on that. Donnie, got to run. I got to get a couple more calls in before this hour is over. Let me grab Mark in Buffalo. Mark, how you doing out there?
Fox News. The more you listen, the stupider you become.
Oh, man. I mean,
that guy, he's got a lot of nerve. talking about the war on the war on poverty and the war on hunger. He's the guy who was pissed off because some woman bought a cake for her child on food stamps.
Wow.
That's that guy. That's that same guy.
Jason. I didn't remember that. But, yeah.
Remember Jason from, where's he from? Cherry Creek?
Yep, Cherry Creek. Yep.
He was pissed off because a woman bought a cake for her child on food stamps.
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know.
Only because she was black.
Yeah, I think sometimes Jason gets caught up in the moment. I'm just praying that that's not what he was really focused on.
He's exactly who he sounded like. Believe me.
Yeah.
What's that lady say? Believe them when they first say something.
Yeah, who is that?
Maya Angelou.
Maya Angelou. She said, believe when they tell you the first time.
Yeah. And listen, I want to say this. The right wing are the enemy of the people and terrorists, and Trump is their Bin Laden.
There you go.
Janet Napolitano warned us about this fact, but was screamed down by the right wing, and now you know why.
Yeah.
And these right wing traitors in Congress don't want to denounce Trump because they'll lose their terrorist base.
Of their
party. Remember Nikki Haley?
Absolutely.
And Ron was right. These Capitol Hill cops that are committed suicide, I think the feds are getting close to the inside conspiracy and knocking on their door. Right. Instead of coming out to the public, they're blowing their brains out.
All right, let me get Other John on. Thanks, Mark. Other John, we got a minute and a half.
Okay, we'll make it quick. First of all, as far as Jason is concerned, there are many people on tape saying this is a revolution. They were out to destroy the government, period, end of story.
Right. Their own words say that.
That's right. Also, I think with respect to the guards that committed suicide, quote-unquote, I suspect they were Epstein because this was highly organized. And the guards were probably part of conducting the tours and letting the miscreants.
I hadn't thought about that connection. Yep.
And also one more point before I go. Maybe you heard about Jared's secret company where they're splitting up the campaign contributions. Half of those went to some party, probably Fat Boy himself. But it was set up by Jared, and they skimmed half of the proceeds.
And they took credit for solving a crisis between two factions that were at war with each other when Bahrain and most of these other countries that they did these deals with were never at war with Israel. They may not have liked Israel, but they were never at war with Israel. So they're talking about peace treaties between people that were never even at war. Appreciate you, man. Thank all of you out there for supporting us, listening to us. We look forward to talking to you all next week here at Think Again. Think Again.
Been listening to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. Be sure to tune in again next week at this same time for more Think Again.